Welcome into this week's edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay Podcast. I'm Martin Weiss, and I'm joined here with my co-host Mark Gunnels. And Mark, I just got to ask you a favor, man. Can you go back to Kansas City?
Can I go back?
Because the last time we had a good basketball game in the playoffs, it feels like you were back in Kansas City. We were doing this show remotely. Ever since you got back to L.A., there has not been a single good playoff basketball game. There's been some that had single-digit ending scores. But, I mean, goodness gracious, god damn. To start the fast break out with Boston and Miami last night, and we'll start. Boston started. Miami is still waiting to start that game.
Yeah. Yeah, that was bad. It was over in the first 5 minutes of the game. I mean, they got down, what, 18-1 to start the game? I'm like, this game's already over. We're only 5 minutes in. And that's been a theme. I know we're going to talk about it later, about these blowouts and these playoffs. What is going on? I saw a stat, like, the last 17 games, like, the average margin of victory is, like, what, 19 points or something like that? Like, yeah, it's just ridiculous, bro.
But I'll tell you this. If we're, and just looking at the Eastern Conference Finals and zooming in on what happened last night, I am so disappointed in Bam Adebayo. To channel somebody that we both know to make a nickname, Bam has been a sham this postseason. And I thought when Kyle Lowry got back, it was going to unlock him, right? Because Bam is like their – it's a weird situation. That he's like their secondary ball handler, right? He's like their secondary distributor. Kyle Lowry comes back. After missing two games, now Bam can get into the pick and roll more. Bam can go and get a post touch or two, even though it's not really what he does. But the thing is, overwhelmingly, what I just am disappointed in, and what I would have thought from after losing in the finals in the bubble to growth to now, is when that handoff doesn't happen on the first action and Grant Williams has 2 feet in the lane and you're on, like, shoot the jumper, bro. You got to be able to hit a 17-foot jumper. And the thing about the playoff success as well is one of the reasons why I like the Heat in this series. We look at all these blowouts, in part is because of three-point dependability. Well, you got a guy like Bam who can score within 12 to 15 feet of the basket. That's going to do a lot for you. Just look at what happened for the Phoenix Suns last year. Y'all know they had a lot of injuries that got on for the opposing teams, but DeAndre Ayton was a big piece of the reason why they were able to go to the finals, him and Chris Paul. Remember when Chris Paul went down, all of a sudden DeAndre Ayton scored 7 points a game.
Right. But one name you didn't mention, and I can't believe this, and that's the main culprit of why Bam is playing bad right now, is Robert Williams. The game that he missed, magically Bam scores 31 points.
Points. I hear all of that. I get it.
Then Robert when he comes back,
a defender, but he Bam's not even.
Where's he at?
Bam's not being aggressive. That's he's not.
So he was just magically aggressive. The game that Robert Williams missed, he scored 31 points.
Go bring you have to go bring it to him. Like you have to like look. Here's the thing. If you show me like four clips of Robert Williams blocking Bam's shot, hats off. I get it. Hey, you won the individual matchup. But, like, to me,
he's scared of him. He's not even attacking
that's
him.
What I'm saying he's bowing out, and I'm disappointed. Like, I would have thought that would have been something that we would have gotten into.
He's not even giving us data to say that he's going to be successful against him or not because he's not even attempting shots on him.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you showed me Robert Williams is punching the ball back in Bam's face four times in over the course of a game. Okay, I got you. I agree with you. I'm not saying that Robert Williams doesn't deserve no credit, right? I'm not saying that even and Grant Williams and Al Horford, for that matter, and the people that have been guarding him don't deserve any credit for it. But what I'm saying is he is not being aggressive and, like, he's not going to the fight. Yeah. It's one thing to go to the fight and lose the fight. It's another thing not to go.
Yeah.
Where you at, bro?
Yeah. It's like, you know how when back in the day in high school, I don't know how your school was, where somebody like, hey, I meet you at the park at the school. 2:30, you know, everybody going to run to the park down the street because you're going to fight on school grounds because you can get suspended. And then the kid doesn't even show up.
Exactly. And you're right. Maybe it was the fact that the biggest bully was on the sideline for game, what was it, 3, where Bam had 30 points?
Yeah.
But I just know that on that team, even missing a guy like, look, we're talking about And I'm not trying to downplay Tyler Hero, right? But we're talking about the sixth man of the year. Him, like, they were talking about him coming in the game with like 6 minutes left in the first quarter. Van Gundy and Mark Jackson are talking about, you know, you could tell this team's really missing Tyler Hero off the dribble.
But the game was already over before he would have came in.
That's my point. Like, that's my point. Like, some of these guys are like, whatever is happening at the start of these games, I can't figure it out. But to me, I had Miami in seven, I believe, maybe six. A lot of it was because I said it was going to be about the defense and the rebounding. Right, that was what was going to be the key. I thought that, silly me, thought that Bam was going to be able to establish himself after doing, in my opinion, a pretty decent job on a guy who was the second, the runner-up for MVP. I know he had a broken face, right? But at the games that he played, like, sure, he played well, but I thought that Bam held his own. I thought that he played decently enough. And I think that if you look at him, if you squint your eyes, and then if you really like the flavor of ice cream that he's selling, you can convince yourself that Bam is a top four big, top five big. So
I don't know about that.
That's just, like, in terms of, not necessarily, in terms of being an all-around player, I'm not saying that he's, like, a top, like.
Okay.
Who else would you rather have guard Giannis, right? Like if you're just looking across, like, who can guard Giannis and bring the ball up the court? And it's 6'10".
Okay, from that aspect, I see what you're saying.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, sure, Rudy Gobert is a better defender than him, but I don't want Rudy Gobert on my team. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, of the guys, like, the guys who are, I feel like, could be pieces of winning, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's fair.
That's why I'm not saying, like, you know me, I'm not a big list guy, but I just feel like he's on the top half of tier two to me.
That's fair. That's fair. I can buy that. I can buy that.
But on a team where you don't have a bona fide go-to A-level superstar, and I get that Jimmy Butler, we do this every year. When it gets to the 16 games, you know, he always becomes a superstar, and he's a regular season star. Jimmy Butler's just a really good player. Doesn't shoot a lot of threes and doesn't demand a lot of attention, right? So, like, I get it. He doesn't necessarily – how sexy are elbow jumpers, right? But – that's part of the reason why I liked Miami is because I thought that they would be able to execute enough in the half court with Jimmy and Bam hitting open jumpers.
I don't know why you thought that.
I just watched the playoffs. I watched this year. I thought that they had gotten better from last year. I mean, and plus two. Well, you know what I didn't expect at all was Max Strus to put up a Tony Snell 0-0-0-0-0. Duncan Robinson to be a non-factor this entire playoff run, right? Like, I just – some of these things that were a key part of Heat culture or whatever.
Oh, God.
But I really – but at the end of the day, the Heat still have a shot to win this series in seven because it's only one loss. So like the Warriors said, when they lost by 50 to Memphis, this only counts as one loss in the standings, and it's a 2-2 series. But I just – I'm disappointed in the way that Miami's played. And I see that I understand how people are like, and I might be stealing a little bit of your thunder. I'll give it over right here. But like the idea of like they win quarters. Like I get why people are trying to justify how Boston has lost two games in this series.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, bro, in the first game, I believe, the Miami Heat had a historical third quarter to win that game. They got outplayed every other quarter in that game. They just had to have – that third quarter was just – it was magical.
You know my number one.
It was magical.
Gambling and sports in general.
What's that?
All that matters is the final score.
Right, exactly. But you should be concerned. Boston's going to win this series in six. And I said this before the series, and I feel even better about it now. Because – and I hate to talk about injuries, but it is what it is. Jimmy Butler is obviously hobbled. He shouldn't even play last game. He had 6 points. In the game before, they had eight. I know he only played one half. So he's had 14 points in his last two games. He's clearly not healthy. And for Miami, that's still really bad. And for Miami to win this series, for you to be successful in this prediction, you're going to need Jimmy Butler to be that guy that can get you 30-plus that he's been doing for a lot of the playoffs, because you cannot rely on Bam in this matchup. It's a bad matchup for him. You have a Robert Williams, who's very athletic, very long. You got Al Horford, who just has good positioning, great IQ, and Grant Williams can just muck things up and make it difficult for you. They have multiple bodies to throw at him, and that's why I like Boston, because for Jimmy Butler, they got Tatum. You got Jaylen Brown. They didn't even have Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year last game, who can also get in there and mix things up. And we know that he's known for getting those loose balls, those momentum type of plays that doesn't show up in the stat sheet. So Miami's in trouble, man. And if Hero can't go, I really don't think they're going to win another game, especially with a hobbled Jimmy Butler right now. And you cannot rely on Bam to be that guy from a scoring perspective.
Miami's going to win the next game.
No, they're not.
In this series.
No, they're not.
I feel confident with that. They'll win game five. I will say this, though. If they don't win game five, it'll go seven. I don't see Miami not winning another game.
No, Miami's not going to win game six in Boston.
The variance is just too great. I don't know how you can be confident about any of these teams not winning a single game, especially in the series that we're about to talk to, like the Warriors and the Mavericks, who we were both dead wrong on, apparently. But I don't know. I don't feel like I'm wrong. I feel like the Mavericks keep missing shots.
I mean, that would mean you're wrong, though. Because pick them to win, you assume they're going to make shots. Well, so technically, you're wrong.
No. I don't care. Because if I had picked them to win, I would have never assumed that Maxi Kleber and Reggie Bullock and Spencer Dinwiddie would have all combined to go 27 for 27 from the floor. Or let me do better. Let's say 22 for 27 from the floor. So I would have never, ever predicted them in a loss to go 5 for 27 from the floor. So, no, I don't know. I'm not taking credit nor blame for that. If Luka Doncic is getting down into the lane, doing his thing, dancing with whoever's in front of him, he draws four, and he throws the ball behind his head and hits Jalen Brunson in the right eye with the basketball, and he can't make a three-point shot, that's not my fault.
Well, if you want to go there, then
that's not my fault.
If you want to take that angle, then you can say that nothing is your fault when it comes to sports, because technically you are not playing. No. So nothing,
No.
You get no credit for anything, no. And you can't no fault for anything if that's your angle.
You can
say that for any game that you bet on.
This series, and you know what it really is? I'm really just talking about the idea that I thought it was going to be Mavs in six, Mavs in seven, whatever. I never would have expected Warriors in four. That's what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily upset that I got the prediction wrong.
It's not going to be four. Mavs are going to win tonight.
I don't think so. I don't. The only way is.
This is a classic extend the series type of game. Watch. Steph's going to have like three quick fouls.
I don't know where Scott
Dallas is going to make all their shots.
I don't know where Scott is. I don't know where Scott is.
The Warriors are like, we're going to go back home anyway, so we might as well just finish it out game five at home.
Look, All I know, and they did say that after the game. Steph said that
they're playing with house money. When he said that, I'm like, oh, okay.
But I don't know if it matters, because you know what you can do with house money? Win bets.
You don't like the phrase house money, though. I feel like I've used that before, and you didn't like it.
It makes literally no sense to me.
I knew you didn't like it.
It makes absolutely – what do you mean house money?
It means, like, you know, you're up more than you anticipated to be up. So, like, if you lose a little bit – you're still up, theoretically, right?
Right. That sounds like a loser's mentality. House money, if you mean that, if I'm up, it is no
longer. It means you're up.
That it's not house money. It's Martin's money.
I feel you.
It's Martin's money now. It used to be house money.
Yeah.
Then I got it.
Yeah.
Now it's Martin's money.
So it's safe to say, audience, that Martin is not playing with house money ever.
No, I'm always playing with Martin's
money. Playing with Martin's money.
And then if I give something back, then that's house money.
Oh, so is it house money? What about if, well, I guess you'll still say it's your Martin's money. What if somebody gave you, like, fronted you some money? Hey, I'm going to front you this and put some money down on a bet.
That's Martin's money.
So then it becomes your money, though, when they give it to you. That's not considered house money?
Look, what is it, possession?
Because it wasn't your money initially.
Hey, a lot of the money, most, in fact, now that I'm trying to think, I think every damn dollar I done earned in my life wasn't initially mine. But I got it. Somebody gave it to
me.
Kind of way. And it became my money. And it never, ever went to nobody's house.
Martin does not like house money.
It's just a nonsense. You know what it is? It's just something that people tell themselves.
It's a funny saying, though.
Well, it's something that people tell themselves to make themselves feel better about going up five and losing three. It's like, well, you know, I was playing with house money. No, yeah. You were playing with your money.
Yeah.
That's what happened. You was playing with your money and you lost.
See, so you should be on Dallas tonight. If Steph is saying house money, He's already telling you that they're not even going to really take this game that seriously.
Look, if I was a smart gambler, I wouldn't be betting on none of these damn games. Or I'd be doing like Sal's been doing. I don't know if you noticed this. But what he's doing for like the last 10 playoff games, he's taking adjusted lines on both sides. Whoever's the favorite, he takes them up to like plus 9 or minus 9.5. Whoever's the dog takes them down to plus 10, 9.5. And boom, he's hitting like plus 400 every night. 4-1, 5-1, because everything's a damn disaster.
He's a smart man.
Then what the Mavericks need to do, though, to go back to talking about this, because they're not playing with nobody's damn house money, because you know what they do got? They got 07 LeBron right here. And you know, I bet the Cleveland Cavaliers thought they were playing with house money, because he'll be back next year. We could just build around him. It'll all be okay. He'll be here for many, many years. Right? No. House money is no. There is no house. There's just money. But they have got to improve and get a big man who is an offensive threat. And I think if the Mavericks had Bam Adebayo instead of Dwight Powell running off of those Luka pick and rolls, because I've been doing this in my head. How do the Mavericks extend this window? How do they get better, right? Because I like the guards. You like the guards. It's the Finney Smiths and the front court players where you're looking like, okay, because that's really what they did. They traded Porzingis, who was the front court, obviously. Traded him, got Dinwiddie back. I was looking like, I don't know if DeAndre Ayton is available. But that's where my head was at. My head automatically went to, what do the Mavs do in the offseason? What do the Mavs do in this series?
I look at it a little bit differently. I don't think they need a big that is an offensive threat. I think they just need a big that is a lob threat and is a rim protector. Like a guy like a Robert Williams, I think would be perfect for Luka, because they're not going to just give the ball down low and say, hey, go to work, big man. That's not how Luka plays. It's more of the pick and roll, lob threats.
Lob threat is an offensive weapon.
Well, when you said it, I'm thinking you meant like a guy that can just get his own offense. That's how I took it when you said that.
I don't even know, but there's only like 3 big guys in the NBA who can do that.
Yeah.
Then when we talk about an offensive weapon to somebody who's over 6'10", unless they are a primary ball handler, they look like Clint Capella.
Yeah, like a guy like that, because they don't have that at all. But I think for the legit number 2 option, it needs to be somebody on the perimeter, another ball handler that can get his own. I love Jalen Brunson, but his size kind of limits what he can really do offensively to a certain extent. And we all know Dinwiddie is very inconsistent. There is a couple free agents out there. I'm not sure if they'll be able to sign him, and I'm not sure if he would want to go there, because the situation he's in right now, kind of similar to Dallas, where he won't be the primary guy. But what about Zach LaVine?
Nah, I don't think they need another gunner. I really don't.
Or Bradley Beal.
If you look at, I don't think they want to take the ball. I think that what happened earlier in the playoffs, the Mavericks won without Luka. Luka got back and they lost. Me and you both sat here and said, okay, what are they going to do now? Because they need to find the mix. I still feel like they have found the mix.
They need a guy that can shoot with confidence, though.
Problem is they're
taking – and you see how the Warriors are guarding him?
The problem is they take too many threes. They take too many threes and don't have enough two-point diversity in their offense. When you look at gold, like, I think what the Mavericks really should do – excuse me.
Yeah, they don't have a slasher. Imagine if they had LaVine.
I don't think they need somebody else that's handling the ball. I really don't. If you look at the Warriors – you have, if anything, a defensive stopper. Like, upgrade from Finney Smith and get better shooting out of your defensive wing. But you look at your combination of Luka and put Dinwiddie and Brunson together and then a Finney Smith over there. If I'm the Mavericks, I look at that and I say, okay, this is my Steph, Clay, and Kevin Durant / Jordan Poole. That's the way I see it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Obviously, KD is much better than those, you know what I'm saying? But I look at that three, and I look at that three, and I compare the two. And I say, all right, well, and if you go back and watch, like, some of these breakdowns, it's like when the Mavericks can't get a stop, it's not because they're forcing a missed jump shot. It's because Draymond is breaking somebody down and Kevon Looney is dunking the ball or whatever. You know who they need? Kevon Looney.
No, Kevon Looney just looks good in that situation. It's a perfect fit. The difference is, though, between your Warriors and Mavs analogy is Steph's gravity. Klay Thompson's gravity. They
I've been hearing about gravity on the basketball court. Like
they extend defenses out so far out. Yet as soon as Steph crosses half court, you have to pay attention to him. That's not the same thing with Luka.
What?
So that it's not the same. Come on, Steph's the greatest shooter of all time.
You telling me I'm not saying that of course Luka is a much better.
So I mean, the floor spacing is way different.
No, it's not though. Because as soon as Luka oh my gosh.
The floor space is not different between Steph and Luka.
Are you not watching the way that I mean the way that Luka penetrates?
They're not picking up. They're not. The defense isn't looking at him.
You're not hearing me. When Luka dodges in the lane, five players on the defense have 1 foot in it.
You're talking about in the lane. I'm talking about when he passes half court.
But you're not telling. You're saying that the idea that somehow there's not spacing. Like there's an incredible amount of spacing among both of these two players.
It's not the same. I'm talking about Steph Curry, the greatest shooter of all time, man. Come on.
I'm not talking about his ability to shoot the ball. I'm talking about the ability to create space for the other teams on offense. I'm like, how wide open have the Mavericks been this series? How? Why is that happening?
You're missing my point, bro. You're missing the point. The point is, with Steph Curry, he allows everybody to drive into open lanes. Luka Doncic is driving into lanes, looking to kick the shooters. Steph Curry does not play like that. Steph Curry stays on the perimeter and allows guys to drive into open lanes with their small ball lineup. That is not what the Dallas Mavericks do. They got Norman Powell or whatever his name is playing 20 minutes a night.
How is it that I have seen Jalen Brunson exhibit, like, I don't know, like the best postseason footwork for a guy under 6 feet in the lane that we've seen in the last like 10 years? How is that happening? It must not be because he must not be driving the lane. Like,
My gosh. You're just making up stuff.
Are you
Jalen Brunson over the last 10 years? Are you kidding me?
Is Jalen Brunson not in the lane every night pivoting like he's 7 feet tall?
So he's the best one at his size for the last 10 years to do that.
Tell me who's better off his pivot foot in the last
Kyrie
10 years
Irving.
Under
Kyrie
five, Irving. Under 6'10". I mean, under 6 feet. Is that off his pivot foot?
Jalen Brunson is 6 feet.
No. Off his pivot foot, off back to the basket, off his pivot foot.
Kyrie Irving has way better footwork than him. Come on, bro.
I'm not talking about his handles,
bro. That's talking about footwork. That's footwork. You're talking about footwork. You said it's pivot foot.
My God.
Did you not just say pivot foot?
Right. Primary.
That's part of footwork.
Primary word being foot. I'm not talking about his handles, which are attached to
his hands. Talking about his handles. It's about his footwork. Kyrie has way better footwork than Jalen Brunson. What are you talking about?
Show me Kyrie in the post.
I can show you plenty of clips of Kyrie in the post. I can show you 100 clips of it.
When Kyrie and KD were on Instagram fucking live, Kyrie said, I want 7 post-ups a game, the entire country laughed at him, whereas Jalen Brunson has been getting 3-4 post-ups
so
a game every post-season game.
So you're using the country as your evidence. The same – okay.
This is absurd. Like,
yeah, you're talking crazy. It is absurd. You're right.
Like, what the
you
fuck?
You said Jalen Brunson the last 10 years. That's wild. That's a wild take. That is wild. I want you to tweet that.
Jalen Brunson's post-game footwork for a guard under 6 feet tall. Consistent post-game footwork.
Is he under 6 feet tall? I thought he was 6 feet.
All right, 6 feet then. No, Kyrie, sure. You want to take him to the post, dribble turnaround. Absolutely. Or somebody going to the lane. Sure. But back to basket, no matter the height, Jalen Brunson had Rudy Gobert jumping all over the place. Defensive player of the year.
Kyrie can't do that.
In the post?
Kyrie can't.
With his back to Rudy
Gobert?
Kyrie
can do that. Kyrie's done that. I can show you plenty of clips of Kyrie doing that.
I don't have to show you clips of Jalen Brunson doing it. You just got to watch the TV.
Well, you don't watch Kyrie Irving. Obviously.
You just got to watch the TV the last like 10 games that the Mavericks have played.
You clearly haven't watched Kyrie Irving then.
Jalen Brunson scoring how many points in the paint?
You 10 tell a game? Me. Since you're the Jalen Brunson advocate here,
you tell me how he's not. I'm telling you right now, he's in the post.
How many points is he averaging in the paint per game?
I'm telling you it's 10, and you're telling me he's nobody. So, I mean,
I didn't say that. You said he was the best in the last 10 years at his size.
Bro, because there isn't somebody better that I have seen under, like, seriously, if you isolate that single thing, sure, you want to talk about three-point shooting? Absolutely. Does Kyrie have better handles? Absolutely. Is he a better passer? I don't know. That's a good question. But all these other things that you want to talk about? Sure. But if you're talking about a guy putting his ass on the block and backing somebody down and using post moves to get open, that's Jalen Brunson, bro. It's not Kyrie.
Okay. All right. We can move on. You got it.
It's just, when did it happen? Kyrie hasn't posted up. When does he post up? He doesn't post up.
Okay. Kyrie doesn't post up. Wow. Okay. All right. You got it, man. Let's move on.
Let's take a quick break.
Like, Kyrie posts up all the time.
That's not a post move to get open.
What's not a post move?
This is not a post move to get open, bro.
How is that a post move? He's literally in the block.
He's handling the ball. He's literally handling the ball. It's not a post move.
What do you mean? You have the... What are you talking about?
He's handling the ball on the block. He's not making a post move. Like,
was his back not to the basket?
Look, okay,
his back
cool.
was to the basket. That's a post move. How is that not a... That's the same thing Brunson does. Oh,
no, it's not. No, it's not. He's driving the lane. Like, I'm looking at him, watching him driving the lane. Like, not one of these has been a post up, bro.
Because
he's driving the lane. All right,
bro.
He's driving the lane. He's clearly driving the lane.
It's the same thing, Brunson.
He's clearly driving the lane. Like maybe this would be a post up if he was in the post, but he's on the 3-point line. Like, that's not a post up. This is fucking stupid. Like, I can't believe, like, I don't know what you're watching.
All right, bro. All right, dude.
This is the closest thing to a post-up. Bro, that's it. And he shot a jumper.
Bro,
that's the closest
thing. A post-up doesn't
this
mean.
This is the closest thing that
he's
going to
post up and not be on
right
the
here.
Block.
No, this is the closest thing to a post-up right here. Post feed right here. What did he do? He turned around and shot a
bro,
jumper.
Bro, just because you dribble to get to the post and post-up doesn't mean it's not a post
bro,
move.
That's not a post-up when he.
Yes, it is. If your back is to the basket,
bro,
that's a post move.
You're not telling me it's a post move if you cross somebody up at the 3-point line to get down there. Like,
if your back is to the basket, that's a post move.
All right, man. I get it. Y'all basketball Twitter geniuses. Y'all got it.
Ask Twitter.
I'm not about to ask Twitter, bro, because I don't give a fuck. It's a post move.
You clearly do because you just want to look it up on YouTube.
Bro, I sat there and I watched 4 different post-ups that they said were post-ups that weren't post-ups. So no, y'all don't know what the fuck y'all talking about, and that's fine.
Okay.
That's why Chet Holmgren going to be the number one pick.
All right.
Y'all got it.
You got it, bro.
Seriously, y'all got it. That's why Chet Holmgren going to be the number one pick, because everybody's talking about this and that. Like,
yeah, and he's
like,
going to be a future All-Star.
Because I just would love to see him actually post up, the way that y'all talk about people actually posting up. Because what happened when they went down and Georgia State actually went and posted him up, he couldn't stand tall. That's what I'm talking about. That's why in the whole NBA, there's so many people who 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", who are getting bullied by PJ Tuckers of the world because they can't post up. I'm being all for right. real, but this—that's the reason why. Cause y'all got this, y'all got these takes of people doing spin moves at on the logo to get down into the block. Like, no, show me an up and under. Show me you backing somebody down and doing a drop step.
Kyrie does that all the time.
You got to show me. I need to see it. I need to see it. Cause what I saw last year out of Kyrie was screen and roll, screen and roll, screen and roll, screen and roll, and that's why they got swept, and that's why they were the 7th-ranked team in the East. That's why, cause they don't have any diversification of offense. Maybe if Kyrie was taking his ass down to the block, they would have been a better team. If he had been there for more than half the season.
You're talking about this year? Why they were the 7th? That's why they're the 7th seed this year?
I said if he had been there for more than half the season.
Thought you were talking about their offense. That's
did they have any diversification in their offense?
The reason they were 7th seed.
Did they have
guys,
any diversification in their
out,
offense?
Because guys were not there.
When they had everybody there, did they have any diversification in
that's
their
That's a
offense?
Steve Nash problem.
Did they have any? Yes or no?
That's a Steve Nash problem.
So the answer is yes. They had no diversification in their offense. Thank you. That's why they're sitting at home right now.
That's Kyrie's fault.
Maybe if he took his ass down to the block, they would be still. I mean, I don't know.
Bro, he's still a point guard. We're talking about a center.
You know who posts up?
We're talking about a center.
Jason Tatum will go down to the block.
Jason Tatum is 6'8".
I'm saying that's the clear difference between a perimeter player who will go and post up. And you can literally sit there and point at the times that he'll go and post up. And you can sit there and say, that's a post up. Oh, that's an ISO.
You were literally looking at post ups and weren't calling them post ups.
Because they weren't.
Those are post ups. If your back is to the basket, you're posting up. Like, what are you talking about? Just because you dribble to get there doesn't make the difference of it not being a post up.
This attitude, just because this attitude why Karl-Anthony Towns feels like he can dominate on the block. It's this type of attitude.
He doesn't even post up. He shoots threes all game.
By your logic, he posts up all the time.
No, that's not my logic.
By your logic, he posts up all the time.
Kyrie probably posts up more than
no. Karl-Anthony Towns does what I just saw Kyrie do all the time. I watched him do it in the first round of the playoffs, and that's why they ass got swept. Because he played big man, he played tall man, not big man. He's just tall.
I mean, I don't even see Kat post up that much at all, to be honest with you.
Well, I saw him do what we just watched Kyrie do during the break that we just took.
Those were post ups.
That's half of Kat's bag. That's half a cat's bag right there.
What's your point?
So either he does post up or he doesn't. Like, either.
Why can't you do both?
Kyrie and Karl-Anthony Towns have the same post bag.
Why can't you do both? So you're making my point. Kyrie does post up. No. He's a point guard, bro.
Neither one of them do.
Why do you want your point guard to post up that much anyway?
I'm not saying that I do. All I said was that Jalen Brunson has the best post game for somebody under 6 feet, and you made it seem like it was something ridiculous. Like, it's not only is it not ridiculous, there's not a lot of other evidence to even prove it otherwise. It's like saying Kevin Durant's the best 7-foot shooter. Yeah, he is. Guess what? There's also not a lot of people who are 7 feet who can shoot that good. Like, it's not a – like, what are you talking about?
Okay, man. Can we move on?
I just think it's absurd. That's an absurd opinion.
All right.
Okay. I don't know. Does Andrew Wiggins, does he post up?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
He's very efficient when he does it, too.
You want to talk about how your boy dunked all over your other boy?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Are you good now?
I'm fine. You probably thought that was an offensive foul.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I mean, I don't know what basketball y'all be watching.
You're funny, man. But yeah, that Andrew Wiggins, obviously, he's in a great situation. I'm happy for him. He does something that nobody else on that Warriors team can do, and that is exactly what he did to Luka Doncic. And honestly, he's been the most valuable player for the Warriors in this series. When you look at both sides of the basketball, he's picking up Luka at 94 feet. He's making things hard for him. I know he scored 40 the last two games, but it looks a lot harder when he's doing it.
It's the Andre Iguodala effect, like where, you know, he got the Finals MVP for holding LeBron to 40 and all of that. Like, yeah. That's what it is. Like, if Andrew Wiggins wasn't there, who God only knows the massacre that would be holding on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, the onslaught that Luka would be doing. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's been at funny stretches because it's not like he's closing games, quote unquote, especially in all these games that they've been, they got out to the big, everybody in the playoffs these days gets out to a huge stretch, right? And he's not necessarily like the guy who's doing that either. But you can go back and point to each Warriors victory of this series at a point when the game felt like it was in the balance and Andrew Wiggins did something to push it back to a 10-point lead or to push it or did two things, got a rebound that was an outlet to Steph for a three and then got another rebound.
Like his putbacks. Like he's
that's what I'm saying. Rebound, putbacks. It's something that is – and the thing is, they're never drawing the play for him, right? It's always like he's like the extra pass reversal knockdown. And it's just, but you're absolutely right that he's like, you have to have a nuanced eye to see it, in my opinion, because it was easy to be like, you see Steph go out and hit three threes at the end.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, to make the game from 7 to 15. And then it'd be like, oh, Steph was the key. So you can see that. You got the eyes for Wiggins.
Yeah, yeah, man. You know, I
don't know what that
means. You just question my basketball IQ since I don't know what a post up means, I guess, apparently.
we'll talk during the game tonight. I want to know what a post up is, what a post up isn't, according to Mark Gunnels. But yeah, we'll get to later. We'll talk about during the game tonight. But Andrew Wiggins catching that dunk, I think that's got to be the dunk of the playoffs this year.
Yeah, he had another one, too, against Memphis. Remember that, the two-handed one?
Yeah, but this
Yeah,
one...
but no, that was nasty, though. That was nasty. But no, that's debatable. What's that? That one that Ja had was pretty crazy, too, though.
Who was the one that Ja had on? That's the point.
Yeah.
That's the point right there.
You know, I know it's against the Warriors, though.
That's the point right there. That is my point. I'm not saying that it wasn't a miraculous dunk. I want to say it was like Bielitsa or something weird like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the point. This guy, of these two
that
players.
That was the jawbreaker one, right?
Yeah. But like these two players, one's on a Hall of Fame track, one's had a great career redemption.
Yeah.
The Hall of Fame track was not the dunker. The Hall of Fame track was the dunked on.
Yeah.
That's something that Maple Jordan, as he was once known, should be able to hang
his hat on. Known for that, man. Don't say once known. He's still known for that. He's still the Jordan of Canada.
Don't still the respect, Jordan Canada.
Put some respect on his name, man. He made the All-Star team. He's about to win Finals MVP.
Andrew Wiggins is the best player from Canada? That can't be true.
I mean, not all time. It's obviously Steve Nash. Are you talking about currently?
Yeah, who's
Dylan Brooks is from Canada. RJ Barrett's from Canada. Tristan Thompson, but he's not really in the league anymore. He might be the best current player from Canada.
Oh, you know what I need? That's what it is. I need everybody's Jokic MVP reason to come back so we can right the ship of who the best player from Canada is.
What do you mean by that?
Jamal Murray.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so he's not active right now. So as of right now, and Wiggins has the title right
now. Because if Jamal Murray was here, apparently what I've been told, if Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. was playing, we'd be watching, was it Warriors Nuggets right now probably?
It's a really good chance.
Yeah.
It's a really good chance.
I can tell you feel like – I can see when you feel as if you're going to be attacked on a take because you do like this with your face. Like you furrow your eyebrows. And you make your face, it's a really good chance. You, like, shake your head really, really. Like, you didn't know that I was going to push back on the Kyrie post-up thing. It caught you by surprise. You know what's not catching me by any bit of surprise, though, is the amount of just ass-whoopings we've seen in this year's postseason.
Yeah, it's – I don't know if we ever had a postseason like this before. I can't remember.
We've definitely had postseasons like this.
Really? Where there's blowouts every night?
I think that what we are seeing here is a concentration of blowouts consecutively. I think that we have had playoffs like this. If you spread the
like from the first round all the way to the finals?
Yeah, I think if you spread all the blowouts out throughout the span of the playoffs, I think you probably have around the same number. It's just right now we are having – there is one game per night. And it is over by 6 minutes left in the first quarter.
Yeah.
I just think that I saw this stat earlier today. Teams are shooting double the amount of threes they were just 4 years ago. But they're making the same amount.
That's terrible.
They're making the same percentage.
That's bad.
Right? So, like, the variance is so great that as a result, that's what's ended up happening. So I think that at this point, and I think that they're not paying attention to the human aspect of it, and that's just the thing that I feel like the Warriors understand that the Mavericks don't. Sometimes, when you miss four threes in a row, you have to go inside.
It's giving me very Houston Rockets vibes when they missed 27 straight threes against the Warriors in the Harden era.
Or do you want to go cross sport? Like I was telling you, the whole all season for Kansas City, part of the problem with the offense is that they couldn't just run the ball for 4 yards. And it's like, but they can do all these other things. They can throw. They can do things like Golden State. They can shoot threes. They can back screen. They can do. Sometimes you just got to go into the paint and make something happen. Not go into the paint and kick. You got to go into the paint, rise up on somebody, go into the paint, draw a foul, go into the paint, and just be physical. Like, if you look at the Eastern Conference Finals and the Western Conference Finals, Ime Udoka's favorite word is physicality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think that you end up getting out and jumping on teams. And I think part of the reason why Miami ended up winning the first couple was game one of the Boston series, they jumped out and were more physical than Boston was. I don't think there's any level of that in the Western Conference Finals. But I also think that, like, part of the reason is because those two teams, the Warriors – are more finesse. I mean, the Dallas is more finesse, in my opinion, than the Warriors at this point.
100%.
But that's part of the reason why.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I didn't know that stat about the threes, though. That's pretty crazy that they're shooting. You said double threes attempts from 4 years ago, but they're only making,
it's like 4 to 6 years ago. It's just around double the amount of attempts.
Yeah, but they're making the same.
But they're making the same percentage. Mm. So it's like if they were taking in – in 2017, they were taking 15 threes a game. Mm-hmm. Now they're taking 30 threes a game. Mm-hmm. And if they're making seven then, now they're making
15.
14.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we going to do our top five worst games?
I mean, yeah, I can give you my top three right now.
Okay.
Western Conference Finals game one, game two, and game three. Because I just, God damn. I mean, I just really just thought
game two and three weren't that bad.
I thought, But see, that's what we're justifying. We're talking about wasn't that bad.
I mean, game two, the Mavs got up big, but then the Warriors came back and made it. Was a pretty competitive game in the fourth quarter. And then game three, it wasn't like a complete blowout.
No,
there's definitely been worse games.
I've been sitting here watching these games, fighting off watching This Is Us with my girl instead, trying to make – because it's like, I got to watch the sports. She's like, you know who's going to win. The score, they're down by 30. But, like, that game three, it just felt like one team got up big and went on a huge run, and then another team got up on a huge run. But they were never competing with one another.
Oh, you're talking about game three?
Yeah, it's like it was just like two ships passing in a wind.
I see what you're saying. Like, they never met at that.
They never met at the point where, like, this is like.
You feel like the game was in the balance.
Right. Like it's like.
Like, who's going to take control now?
Yeah, it was just like.
It's like an overlap.
The temperature rose, then the temperature dropped. But we never stayed at, like, 75 and, like, had a party. You know what I'm saying? We just, it got hot, then it got cold.
Well, can we both agree the worst game of the playoffs was the one we saw last night?
That was pretty bad.
I mean, the game was over within 5 minutes.
I took a phone call to start that game. And, you know, it was like, you know, let me get off the phone. The game's starting. And generally, I'll try not to be on the phone when the game is on. Mm-hmm. Try to watch it, write stuff down, see who's posting up where. But,
I need you to count every post up for every game now because you're the post-up guru. So you need to tell me how many post-ups every team does per game. I need that stat.
I mean, I knew it was a dying art, but I didn't know that it was.
Basketball, you must love to play in the post.
Look, man, there's value to banging. These are
you get your big ass on the block, huh?
Yes, go get your big ass down there. in pro sports or in sports in general, there is an attitude of like we look at it like a job. But there's nobody here trying to stop us from recording this podcast. Like, if we were professional athletes or athletes in general, it would be somebody's job to try to stop us from recording, like pulling the headphones off, all this and that and third. Like, we don't ever account, I feel like, for the fact that there's defense in games.
No, that's not true. Especially in the playoffs.
I'm not accounting for that, the fact that there's defense, but the fact
it's very highlighted.
Like, the fact that there's this human element to it. Like, the idea that, like, people get tired.
Yeah, like there's resistance.
Yeah, but, I mean, that game last night.
Another game in the running, too, that we haven't mentioned was that Warriors-Grizzlies game when they were down by 50.
See, the benefit that had – I went to a bar crawl for the second half of that game knowing that it was – because it was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So I knew I had time to catch up for Monday. Unfortunately, I didn't have anything to catch up on.
Oh, yeah.
That was a snoozer. And I'm going to give game three in Brooklyn. Boston-Brooklyn, game three of first round.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I have to go back and remember that game.
It was then that you realized that the Brooklyn Nets – like, if you didn't realize the Brooklyn Nets were cooked, you were lying to yourself. But it was also then that you realized that, damn, the Nets are cooked. That means there's going to be no KD, no Kyrie, no Bruce Brown.
Damn, no more Kyrie post-ups, man.
Well,
damn it.
Wouldn't have seen those anyway. I mean, the only post player that the Nets had, it was well documented for most of the season, was Bruce Brown.
Well, I got to give this game a shout out too, though. But I think this was actually, I'm gonna flip it for you. This is the most entertaining blowout. It was a blowout, but I actually enjoyed every second of it. Maybe because I'm a Luka guy. Game seven in Phoenix.
No,
that shit was fun, bro.
No way.
That was a fun, you can't admit that was a fun blowout.
I was mad.
Because it was fun to see just the demise of the Phoenix Suns and like how they just quit.
I was pissed because at that point, I'll never
forget. Why were you pissed? You had money on going to the conference finals.
I did. I wasn't mad that I won the bet, obviously, but I was pissed that it's at the, because like, TK had texted me and was talking about, man, tomorrow's going to be great. Two game sevens. And it was just like, I was ready, man. I was ready. Two game sevens, locked in. Couch was comfortable. Remote in one hand, drink in the other. Ready to just lock in. And it just was 6 hours of just bad. Like, they're like bad movies, man. It's like, it gets so bad that after a while, you keep watching to see how bad it gets. Like, I'm too far invested. Like, yesterday, I put the game on the little TV.
So what'd you put on the big TV?
This Is Us.
What are we doing?
Hey, I'll say this, though. I think tonight's going to be a good game. But I could low-key see Dallas blowing them out, too, though.
I've said I think tonight's going to be a game. I've said I think this is going to be a close series. I've said it all a million damn times. The only thing I know this is bet unders, because from here on out, I mean, this one team's not going to show up. So you might as well just take two units, break them into fifths, take five of the starters on the home team, five starters on the away team, put 20, was that, 0.2 units on each starter's under. And just that, I feel that's the only fun way you can have to enjoy these games.
Okay. Good Weiss advice right there from the one and only Martin Weiss.
And you know what? I'll give you some more Weiss advice right here, right now. I'll tell you about the easiest way to get some action on the NFL. The largest best ball prize pool is here, and it's only at Underdog Fantasy. With $10 million in total prize money and three prizes of $1 million or more, the best place to play fantasy football this summer, Underdog. The winner of Best Ball Mania, a seven-figure prize last year, he drafted in June. So there's no time like the present. Join Underdog and take your spot at a $1 million draft. In Best Ball Mania, you just enter the contest on the Underdog website or app, draft a team, and that's it. There's no waivers, there's no trades, no in-season management. Underdog gives you the best score each week of the season and the highest scoring drafts at the end of the season. Plus, Underdog is going to double your first deposit up to $100 when you sign up with the promo code COUSINSAL. That's four free entries, Mark Gunnels, four free entries into Best Ball Mania 3. So what are you waiting for? Head to UnderdogFantasy.com or the App Store and sign up for Underdog with the promo code COUSINSAL today. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code COUSINSAL. My lemon pepper parlay on that same Underdog Fantasy app. I told you, play the unders, Mark. Going under Dorian Finney-Smith, 18 points, rebounds, and assists combined. And I'm going Steph to make more threes than Luka in the rivals section.
Okay, cool. I like it. I got an under as well. So my lemon pepper parlay on the Underdog Fantasy app, I'm going under on Klay Thompson's points at 19.5. He's been under on this number two of the three games in this series. He's not the same Klay. This number's too high. So under there. And for the rivals section, I'm taking Reggie Bullock. Yes, the guy that had the big donut last game. +6.5 points with Andrew Wiggins. So he'll be within +6.5 with Andrew Wiggins. I'm kind of fading my guy here, but he had a big game last game. And if I know him like I know him, tonight he's due for like a 14 to 15 point game. And Bullock's going to make some shots tonight. So that is my play.
Well, we leave with questions. Will Andrew Wiggins continue to be the Warriors' MVP? Will the Dallas Mavericks continue to miss open shots? Will Mark Gunnels learn to post up? All that and more on the next episode of the Lemon Pepper Parlay. Mark, any last words?
Kyrie has Hakeem Olajuwon post moves.
Yeah, it's time to go.